Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Verses 1 through 22, all of Psalm 34. Thank you once again for the gift, the powerful and the blessed gift, the precious gift. Your word is to us. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to spend time with you one-on-one every day as we open your word and spend time in your presence, intimate time with you, communing with you, listening to you, enjoying your presence. Father, with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word. And more empower us to be much more diligent students who read and meditate on your word daily and who walk in its wisdom and its counsel faithfully each and every day. More and more, use each of us for your glory. Thank you for us all, Lord. Bless each and every one of us, Father. Indeed, expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, that we may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for all of these, our listeners, and all those we've lifted up in prayer today. We thank you and praise you for them individually and collectively, Lord. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God in you. Do we trust? Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash a foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore, you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today, that as Pastor Joseph reads scripture, that it reach to our hearts, that it reach to our minds, to our souls, our spirits, Father. I ask that we'd be open and listening for your word. Thank you so much, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And Father, I also ask that you'd carve out moments in our days today, in our time today, where we would just sit and know that you are God. Father, I ask that we'd be waiting and listening for you, and that we'd be very attentive to spend time intimately with you and just breathe and see who you are. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Want to remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We often are sharing that. One of our goals is to encourage you to regularly to request articles that we do share on the broadcast. I want to take time now to share an article. This article is entitled, The Bible, The Book That Is Alive. Again, the title, The Bible, The Book That Is Alive. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then John 6:63, It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Again, John 6:63. Then Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. Again, Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. The Bible, the written word of God, is a unique, uplifting, and empowering book. It's the only book of its kind. The word of God is alive. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. It's a book filled with grace. It's a source, a container, a vessel of grace. And every day God's question to each of us is, how much do you want? The word of God is Christ, and Christ is the word of God. When you read the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you. He's pouring himself into your mind, body, and spirit. When we read the word of God, Christ is touching our lives. And as we read the word of God, he's bringing healing and wholeness to our lives. Have you ever heard the term Bible trivia? Well, in truth, there's no such thing. There's not a single word in the word of God that's trivia. All of God's word has power, fruitful insight about life, encouragement, and many other things within. Every word has eternal wisdom, help, and instruction within it. There are no idle words in the Bible, no trivia whatsoever. One of the most fruitful and wise habits we can start in our lives is the habit of reading and spending time in the Word of God every day, reading and meditating on it each and every day. Nothing else will bless, strengthen, guide, and equip you in life more than the habit of reading and meditating on God's Word every single day. Parents, if we start the habit of having our children read the Word of God out loud to us every day, this will bless your children and family tremendously. Why not start such a habit today? Here are 11 excellent reasons you should read God's Word every day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Then a second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Number three, it empowers your prayer life. See John 4, 6 through 7. Number four, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Number five, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Number six, it helps you maintain your mental health, according to Dr. Paul Meyer. See Proverbs chapter 4. Number seven, reading the Word daily increases God's anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1 through 4. Then number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And number 10, it pours grace, joy, and peace into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 1 Timothy 1, 2, 2 Timothy 1, 2, and Galatians 5, 22. And then number 11, in direct statement or in principle, God's word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Here are seven ways to wisely use the word of God every single day. Number one, we can read it. Number two, hear it. Number three, believe it. Number four, speak it. Number five, obey it. Number six, pray it. Number seven, meditate on it. And then finally, the salvation prayer at the end of the article. Lord, we thank you for every listener. Touch each person that's listening today that doesn't know you. Draw them to yourself. And this is a salvation prayer if you'd like to pray and commit your life to the Lord even now. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. Forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord, I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, the title of that article, The Bible, the book that is alive. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, that title one more time, The Bible, the book that is alive. Thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege and the blessing that is ours of being able to open your word every single day. Father, more and more, open our minds, our hearts, our understanding to the fact that your word is so much more important to every area of our lives than too often we've believed and understood. Help us more and more to fall more in love with your word, and more help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts and our minds with your word daily. Help us to take time just to pick it up and read it at different times throughout the day. Help us to be wise enough to pray it throughout the day. Help us to be wise enough to speak it and speak promises that we've memorized throughout the day, and thus receive the grace, the joy, the blessing that is found and contained in your wonderful and precious word. We thank you for this gift and this opportunity. And help us, Lord, to be faithful as parents and grandparents, to do our job to faithfully help fill our children's hearts and minds with your word every day as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the rest. restless you are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Music from Passion, God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1, picking up at verse 28. Then King David answered and said, "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, 'Assuredly, Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place,' so I certainly will do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and paid homage to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." And King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest." Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king. The king also said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and may his throne, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, "Why is the city in such a noisy uproar?" While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest. And Adonijah said to him, "Come in, for you are a prominent man, and bring good news." Then Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "No, our lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made him ride on the king's mule." So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from their rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Also, Solomon sits on the throne of the kingdom, and moreover, the king's servants have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed. Also the king said thus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has given one to sit on my throne this day, while my eyes see it. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid and arose, and each one went his way. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Then Solomon said, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also that Joab, the son of Zeruiah, what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your father. When I fled from Absalom, your brother. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him, but bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, say it. Then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you, do not deny me. And she said to him, say it. Then he said, please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as wife. So Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you. So she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as wife. And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, may God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has established a house for me as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down and he died. And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, go to Anathoth to your own fields, for you are deserving of death. But I will not put you to death at this time because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted. So Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. Then news came to Joab, for Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go, strike him down. So Benaiah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, Thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought back word to the king, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said to him, do as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from the house of my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. So the Lord will return his blood on his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword, Abner the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah, though my father David did not know it. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever. But upon David and his descendants, upon his household and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and struck and killed him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his place over the army. And the king put Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. For it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimei said to the king, "The saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do." So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Now it happened at the end of 3 years that two slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, "Look, your slaves are in Gath." Verses 1 through 39, 1 Kings chapter 2. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're continuing to read the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Your name that tears down walls, and every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight, that every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
Music from Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verses 1 through 18, all of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. End of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity for us to know you, to be able to serve you and walk with you each and every day. Thank you, Father, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and your mercy at work in us. Father, pour, just flood us afresh with the spirit of revival as your church. Stir us more and more to be a people who are committed to living in your word, reading and meditating on it every day. And help us to be a people who are committed to obeying your word and living in obedience, full obedience to your word and your spirit. Help us to live in such a way that every day we are available vessels to be used in whatever way, whatever capacity you're calling us to, whatever task for a given day. Help us to live so that we'll always have listening ears to your word and your Holy Spirit. And help us to live so that, again, you can reach through us to minister salvation, to minister spiritual growth and edification and encouragement, and to minister healing, blessing, and any other way you desire to use us. Help us to be the available vessels just for that purpose. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we usually do, before we end the broadcast, if you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to make that very important decision. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me? Repeat this and pray it with me from your heart and ask Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life and save you. Would you take the time to do that even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long, long time ago. You lived and you died on the cross to pay for all the sins and wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to fulfill all the call of God upon my life. Help me to follow you faithfully for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're wanting very much to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some resources and information that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down deep roots in Christ in your new walk and relationship with Him. We hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the article entitled The Bible, the Book That Is Alive, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Please use it for you, your own personal walk, for discipling your family, and use it to share and forward to many others as the Lord leads. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.